morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 10 through 11. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. As I thought about this passage of Scripture, it says, what carefulness, that means diligence. This can be defined as earnestness, zeal, sometimes with haste accompanied, being quick to do what's right. He said, what clearing of yourselves, to clear oneself of blame, quick to stop doing what is wrong. If such is the case, quick to respond to the offer of forgiveness when one realizes their guilt. Indignation, this involves a sort of anger over the moral outrage towards sin which required the repentance. Yea, what fear? Fear lest sin should be repeated, lest sin should not be entirely removed. What vehement desire? That means it's a fervent wish, especially to be right in the eyes of God. What zeal? This involves eagerness, interest in pursuit of something. In this case, to turn from sin and to turn to God. What revenge? What readiness to see justice done and to do the right thing? Such are the signs of true, genuine repentance. So, I thought about this passage of Scripture, and what I get out of this, these people who repented, they were serious. My message deals with the subject, are you serious about the things of God? Are you serious about your prayer life? He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what that means? Serious prayer. Prayer does not equip you for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. Prayer is a vital key to connect us with God, our Heavenly Father. Prayer is both an incredible privilege and also an awesome responsibility. It can move the hand of God in situations where there's no other hope. Biblical prayer is crying out to God out of the depths of our hearts. It's pouring out of the soul before God. When a person is really right with God, the power of his sincere prayer is tremendous. The condition for that promise is when a person is right with God and he is serious about his prayer life. Effectual prayer is the hardest kind of work that there is to do. Not only does it take more out of the person than any other kind of work, we have to handle ourselves with a strong discipline to make time for effectual, fervent prayer. Our natural tendency is to shrink back when it comes to praying for things that seem to be impossible. Think about what prayer has done. Prayer has divided seas, rolled up flowing rivers. Prayer has made rocks to gush into fountains, quenched the flames of fire, muzzled lions, disarmed vipers, stopped the course of the moon, arrested the sun in its rapid race, burst open iron gates, released souls from eternity, conquered the strongest devils, commanded legions of angels down from heaven. Prayer has bridled and changed the raging passions of men and routed and destroyed vast armies of the proud, daring, blustering atheists. Prayer has brought one man from the bottom of the sea, carried another in a chariot of fire to heaven. What has prayer not done? Prayer can do anything. What makes our prayers effective? When we're serious about prayer. Fervent prayer will make a difference in the lives of God's people. But we must understand that it takes effort and sacrifice for serious prayer. Secondly, are you serious about your devotions? You know, a lot of folks go to church, they're not serious about their devotions. You'd be surprised if you knew how many people has not picked up a Bible since the last service on Wednesday, right? You'd be surprised to know the professing Christians, they're really not serious about their devotions. When the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you serious about church attendance? You know why some folks are not faithful to the house of God? Because they're not serious about church attendance. I wouldn't doubt if there's some folks sitting at home, and the reason they're sitting at home is because they are not serious about church attendance. Ever since God saved me, I've been serious about church attendance because I need the word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I need faith, and if I'm going to get faith, I got to hear the word of God preached. Are you serious about church attendance? When little things keep you from the house of God, that's proof that you're not serious about church attendance. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what? I believe the day is approaching. And it's not that we need less church. We need more church. Amen. None of us are getting too much of the word of God. We're not getting too much faith. So are you serious about church attendance? There needs to be a seriousness among the people of God. Are you serious about obedience? Are you serious about doing what God has asked you to do in the word of God? And 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. Obedience. What about it? Are you serious about being obedient to the word of God? Serious about doing what God says to do in the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the altar of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him. Are you obeying him? What is obedience? Obedience is doing exactly what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, and doing it with the right spirit. Are you serious about the Bible standard? I believe we'll be serious about the Bible standard. Amen. The Bible teaches modesty, doesn't it? You serious about that? Some folks are not serious about modesty. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel and shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold or pearls, or costly array. It's not modest when it looks like 4 pounds of sausage in a 2 pound bag. It's not modest when it's too tight. It's not modest when it's too low. It's not modest when it's too short. It's not modest when it's revealing. I believe the saints ought to be serious about modesty. Amen. Are you serious about non-conformity? Amen. Well, be serious about that, because the Bible's serious about it. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Friend, that's a blanket statement. Amen. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're told in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Friend, listen, if society cannot tell the difference between the churched and the unchurched people, we have a serious problem. Amen. The sad reality is that Satan has convinced a whole lot of professing Christians of a bold-faced lie. And that lie is that we do not need to be different from the world. But we do need to be different from the world. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Friend, this world is human life and society with God left out. Somebody said, I don't know what it means when he said, love not the world. The world is everything that's opposed to God. If it's opposed to God, it's of the world and it's not of the Father. We are not to copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. What we need to ask ourselves is, where is our loyalty? Is it to the world or is it to the Lord? It's impossible for the church to change the world if we become like the world. How are we going to be a light to the world if we're going to live like the world and be like the world? And when we compromise to win, we don't win. We've already been won. Isn't this what the church should be striving to be different from the world? Absolutely. Amen. Far too often, friend, we forget that even the best that this world has to offer is nothing more than a fleeting vapor. It's nothing but a wisp of wind. It's nothing more than a fading flower. This world in which we live one day is going to pass away, and everything that's not eternal is going to pass away with this old world. The ways of this world lead nowhere worth going. The desires of this world leads to a fruitless end. The pleasure of this world will quickly pass away, leading and seeking you into deeper depths of sin. Are you living a life that refuses to conform to this old world? Friend, we got a choice. Every one of us have a choice. We can either buckle under and be led by those that are destroying their own bodies and their minds and their souls, or we can look to Jesus, the true nonconformist, and allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we are to conform, let us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Are you serious about pleasing God? We ought to be serious about pleasing God. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And this ought to be our highest aim. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how that you ought to walk to please God, so that you would abound more and more. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him before his translation. He had this testimony. What kind of testimony? That he pleased God. Amen. Living to please God should be the goal of every Christian. Every one of us ought to be serious about pleasing God. Who are you trying to please? Yourself, someone else, or pleasing God? Are you serious about holiness? Why is that so important? Because Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That sounds serious to me. Without holiness, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl shall see the Lord. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, The one that called me is holy. The one that called you is holy. He said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That just don't mean what comes out of your mouth. That means by the way that you live. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Indeed, holiness is to be pursued. For without this, he said, absolutely no one shall see the Lord. But holiness must be perfected. Are you perfecting holiness? 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Are you serious about a revival? I believe one of the reasons we're not seeing greater revival is because we're not serious about revival. Amen. To have revival, we got to be serious about humbling ourselves, because that's what he said. 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. We've got to be serious about humbling ourselves. We've got to be serious about prayer. Because he said, humble themselves and pray. We've got to be serious about seeking the face of God. We've got to be serious about forsaking wicked ways in our lives. Amen. Are you serious about setting your affections on things above? You don't have to be around people very long to find out where their affections are. Do you know that? Where have you set your affections? He said, set your affections. You got to do it. He said, you set your affections. Where are our affections? Are they really on things above? Or do we have our affections set on things of this earth? You serious about self-examination? I like to examine myself. That's what the Bible says to do in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine your own selves. It's easy to examine the person beside you. Amen. The front of you and back there in the back. It's easy to think about people. Oh, but he said, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know your own selves to how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You know what? As I read the Psalms, I find that David was a man that was serious about self-examination. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. He wanted to know. He loved God. He wanted to know, Lord, is there something in my life that I'm not seeing? Is there something there that's not pleasing to you? Amen. Read the Psalms. You'll find that David was a man that was serious about the things of God. Oh, I want to see us as a church be more serious about living for God. Amen. Friend, this thing's not going to go on forever. God's going to soon come. Amen. I hope when he comes, he'll find us serious about the things of God. Are you serious about staying awake spiritually? I believe we ought to be serious about staying awake. Why? Because it's easy to go to sleep spiritually. Amen. Ephesians 5:14 said, wherefore, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Are you serious about staying awake? That's the only way you can stay awake. Be serious about staying awake. You know what happened to the five foolish virgins? They wasn't serious about staying awake. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Hey, the bridegroom's coming. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wives, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. They're gone out. So they said, go buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in, the door was shut. You know what? Their lamps went out because they went to sleep. Amen. They become inactive. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. Are you serious about consecration? Amen. So I think about this song, in the Evening Light Song, with all these songs. Them brethren back in that day, you know what? They were serious about consecration. I think it's time that the church of God really gets serious about consecration. What are you talking about? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the problem with the living sacrifice is they sometimes crawl off the altar after you put them there. That's why this message on consecration has to be preached and re-preached and re-preached and re-preached, because we can put things here and want careful, we won't leave them there. Living sacrifices are daily choices. Each and every day, you and I get up, we make a choice. Either live for God or live for something else. Consecration is being set apart for the service of God. What does it mean? Giving God your best. That's what God wants. He wants your best. God wants you to serve him with all your being, all your strength. When was the last time you gave Christ your absolute best? The key to victory is not how much you can get from God, but it's how much you can give God. Giving is not measured by what you give. Giving is measured by what you withhold. Charles Spurgeon was saved on January the 6th of 1850. Less than a month being saved on January the 6th, on February the 1st of the same year, he wrote the following prayer of consecration. O great God and unsearchable God, who knowest my heart and triest all my ways, with an humble and dependence upon the support of the Holy Spirit, I yield myself to thee as thy own reasonable sacrifice. I return to thee thine own. I would be forever, unreservedly, perpetually thine whilst I am on earth. I would serve thee, and may I enjoy thee and praise thee forever. Amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? For a man that's been saved less than a month to write a prayer of consecration like that. By the way, what areas in your life needs to be consecrated to God? Maybe it's your attitude. God wants you to live with his grace. Are you harboring resentment? Are you holding grudges? Are you hanging on to garbage? Are you hanging on to unforgiveness? Are you hanging on to bitterness? What about your abilities? God gave you these gifts. Are you selfish by just using these gifts for yourself? Actions. God desires for you to live to his glory, to his honor. Are the things you do that you know doesn't please God? Are there times when you do what you know is wrong? Do you treat others with less than Christ-centered respect? Talking in a manner that tears down rather than builds up? When you think of what God has done for you, is it too much for him to ask you to consecrate your life to him? I'm telling you, friend, this present day consecration is far too shallow. I want to live a holy life, don't you? What about you? Will you surrender all to him? Will you get serious about this thing, living for God? He asked the question in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles 29:5, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? You know, I don't very seldom meet someone that's not interested in being a Christian. Just about everybody I talk to, they say, yes, I want to be a saved. I want to be a Christian. But you know what? They're not serious about it. The rich young ruler, he wanted eternal life, but he wasn't serious about getting eternal life. If he had been serious about getting eternal life, he would have said, yes, Lord, whatever you say. You see, Felix was interested in being saved. He wanted to be saved, but he didn't want to be saved right now. He wasn't serious about getting saved. And so he said, I tell you what, Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Agrippa, he wanted to be saved, but he wasn't serious about getting saved. Because instead of getting saved, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How about it? Do you need a more seriousness along some of these lines? Well, we need to humble ourselves around an altar of prayer. Get the need met in our heart and life. We ought to be a serious-minded people. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:18, he encouraged people to make their calling and election sure. When we speak of making our calling and election sure, we're talking about making sure that your experience and connection with Jesus Christ is up to date. Dear ones, if that hasn't been taken care of, we certainly encourage you to take seriously that thought in mind to make my calling and election sure. Make sure that my life is free from sin, that I have asked Christ to forgive me. Dear ones, when Christ forgives us, He takes away sin, He gives us a new heart, and He gives us His Spirit to guide and direct us throughout our life. Our desire again, dear ones, is to see souls saved, to be able to see them live with a victorious life and be able to make heaven their home. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Have you visited our website yet? If not, we'd like to invite you to browse through it. There is a section on our website that points to sermons that have been preached by Brother Roger Decker. There are also messages by ministers that have come and preached in revivals and camp meetings. You can find our website at godsacres.org. It offers many interesting things that will be of some help to you. Friends, in behalf of our pastor, Roger Decker, we want to extend a warm welcome to you to our services at the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street. Our service times today is at 9:30 for Sunday school. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45. Our evening worship service then begins at 6 o'clock. If you would need transportation to the services, please feel free to give us a call at that number, 740-345-1213. Someone will certainly be happy to stop by and pick you up. That number to call again is 740-345-1213. My friends, I see it's time to go again. But before we leave you, I want to once again thank you for this opportunity to be with you. This is Fred Barrows inviting you to tune in again next week at the same time to the Church of God radio broadcast that comes to you from God's Acres here in Newark, Ohio. So until then, may the Lord be with you, is our prayer.